Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
But first, to a roundup of news from the primary sector this week, and joining us from Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, is Susan Murray. And Susan, primary sector leaders have put climate change as the top concern for farming.
They have, and this comes from new research out of Lincoln University, where 280 leaders from agribusiness, government and Māori business were surveyed midway through last year. So yes, climate change, along with extreme weather and water quality, they saw these as the biggest drivers affecting land use in the next decade. The research was headed by Timothy Driver. He says Cyclone Gabrielle and other recent weather events really were front of mind because of the impact they had. They've cost an estimated $2 billion. But also, and I guess this is no surprise, the survey highlighted just how important overseas market happenings and events are to agribusinesses.
Exports and market issues in general are really high at the forefront. Consumer preferences in export markets are always really high to the forefront. So I think what this captures is the through line of the thought of the primary sector, that these things are always of concern. Things move around. So, for example, in the previous iteration, COVID-19 was really high in the priorities. That's completely dropped off the radar now. In the current iteration, we are now seeing a proliferation of concerns around geopolitics, conflict, international conflict, food security, and the market effects of geopolitical conflict.
And Susan, some pleasing signs for deer farmers, with demand for New Zealand venison strong at the moment.
It is, and this is resulting in good prices for farmers. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crowe says that as the main European chilled venison season is ending, buyers are now on the hunt for next season's stock. And so this should mean that the new season contracts, when they come out later in summer, will be strong.
Some early on-farm deer sales suggest that there is some confidence and positivity within this industry. Strong demand for venison from North America has basically counteracted some of the European markets that were perhaps just not as strong as they would have usually have been. That market in general has managed to withstand the downside that we've seen in other red meat export markets as well, and it's allowed those prices received at the farm gate to track at a much stronger level than what we're seeing for lamb.
So Mel is mentioning lamb there. Well, there is a slight ray of hope actually for lamb producers. Rabobank's agribusiness outlook for 2024 came out this week, and in there they were predicting that while economic growth in China is expected to slow, the demand for lamb, it says, would pick up in the second half of the year once China has eaten its way through the inventory that it already has. And the team caught up with senior analyst Emma Higgins. She said that the input costs should also remain stable through the year, but that could change if the tensions in the Middle East escalate. And of course, if that happens, that will have an impact on the bottom line for farmers.
Yes, but more than a ray of hope for dairy farmers, with the global dairy trade auction rising for the fifth consecutive time.
Pretty good news for them, isn't it? This is the fortnightly auction. The prices that they get there, of course, affect what they get in their pockets. And on Wednesday, yes, those prices popped up again by 4.2%. NZX analyst Christina Alivado says that the sales exceeded expectations. And this was largely thanks to buyers coming in from the Middle East and North Asia. We, of course, are coming into our lower production period, so we'll have less on offer. But she says the hope is that buyers will remain keen through this coming time, and therefore the prices should stay strong.
If this continues the trend, then we might be able to keep seeing prices lifting, at least towards this side of the year, until we start to see how US and European production seasons start to pick up.
NZX analyst Christina Alvarado. The whole milk powder prices, which are the ones that affect New Zealand in particular, they rose 3.4%. Butter prices jumped up more than 10%. So I think that's the reverse alley of a slippery slope.
Now, what about the rural real estate scene? Is that on a slippery slope?
It's pretty quiet. Buyers apparently are either waiting for the right property or for interest rates to come down. The new data from the Real Estate Institute shows that there was a 37% drop in the number of farm sales in the 3 months to December last year, and that's compared to the same time the year before. And it's down to 241 farm sales over those 3 months. Here's Institute spokesperson Shane O'Brien.
Drop in farm sales is right across New Zealand and right across most farming sectors, which is not usual. Normally we see one or two sectors dropping off or one or two regions, but this is a nationwide trend occurring at the moment, which tends to suggest that the issues facing buyers are more on a macro level, things such as on-farm inflation, farm product prices and interest rates.
Shane O'Brien says the median price for farmland is also down. Over the past year, the price per hectare on dairy farms dropped nearly 7%, down to $41,020 a hectare. And the median price for finishing farms was also down. It was down 9.3% to $39,270 a hectare.
Susan, a new pest control program to control wallabies is off to a good start in the South Island.
Which is good news. These little hoppers, they've spread themselves around a number of regions in New Zealand. Back in December, 10 Bennett's wallabies wearing brightly coloured GPS collars were dropped by helicopter into the Waitaki and Mackenzie districts. Now, they're called spy wallabies, and that's because they're used as lures to lead the hunters onto other wallabies in an effort to control these populations. We just don't want them around. They compete for grass with the livestock, and they eat native seedlings and regenerating native bush. Otago Regional Council's Libby Caldwell says that this is the first surveillance operation, and it was successful.
They have led us to an extra 18 wallaby, so those extra 18 wallaby were destroyed at the time of the hunt. And so we're really happy with the results.
Libby Caldwell, and the surveillance operation showed that one wallaby travelled 42 kilometres over a couple of weeks. Wow. There's another hunt, I know, big distance. Amazing. That'll be coming up on the 19th of February, and they'll hope to keep it going for 11 months to just see how successful the spy wallaby program is.
Well, now on the international front, where are things at with the live animal export vessel that's been stuck off the coast of Perth for several weeks?
Sounds like a bit of a standoff. The MV Bahija, it's got 15,000 sheep and cattle on board. It left Australia bound for Israel in early January. It was turned back because of ongoing tensions in the Red Sea. It couldn't get through. Last Friday, several hundred cattle were taken from the ship to a quarantine facility. A small number of them have died, and those are now under investigation. The exporter wanted to re-export the animals the long way around Africa, but this week the Australian government said that's not going to happen, they're not to be re-exported. But a farming lobby group in Western Australia says it's likely they will be offloaded and rested for 10 days, and then it will have another attempt to re-export them, to apply to re-export them. For now, they're staying on board the ship. There's a heat wave in Perth, and it's actually cooler on the ship.
Thank you, Susan.
Look, just quickly, Sally, I must just butt in. Best wishes to a Christchurch vegetable farmer who is vying to be first place in this weekend's Coast to Coast. He grows vegetables in the morning. He's an athlete by the afternoon. Ryan Kisanowski, he's competing in his 17th Coast to Coast, and he hopes that this year he'll be up on the podium. He's in that longest day event where they go for the full 243-kilometre course in one day. Last year he was second. He's also been third, fourth and fifth. So go, Ryan.
Indeed. And good luck to all the competitors.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.